I just hit the record button. I believe starting with a laugh is always nice.
And ending too.
In fact, actually, there is no reason not to laugh at all.
Never. This is the key. To see the joke all the way. And tea.
And water. Unfortunately, no glass, but also I'm not very thirsty at the moment.
Could you say something?
Yes. What do you want to hear?
What's that?
Oh no, at least pretend to be serious.
So much effort.
Let's see how this one will unfold.
Yeah, forever and ever.
So, your name is Kranti Ananta?
I cannot do that.
Kranti Ananta? Or?
I normally just use Ananta, but that was the name I was given, Kranti Ananta.
And by who were you given the name?
Osho.
By Osho.
In Pune, yeah.
In Pune. And what does Kranti mean?
Revolution.
And Ananta?
Eternal.
Eternal revolution. Okay.
Well, that was my first reaction. Like, what? Eternal revolution? Ah, no! And it took a couple of years before a moment came where it sunk in. And I saw that it was a revolution of the eternal. And not an eternal revolution.
So the other way around.
Yeah, it's a revolution of the eternal, which is always now. So it's not an eternal revolution.
So it is describing the always changing now.
That could be a way to see it, yes. I'm hearing children. Are they with you or
no,
in my
just,
imagination?
Just in the other house.
Uh-huh.
The neighbor house in the garden. So from the neighbor's garden they come into your imagination.
Right. No separation, huh?
Yeah. So we started with a good laugh about the joke, the cosmic joke, or I don't remember the phrasing you used.
The endless joke.
What is the nature of this endless joke?
It's such a beauty because, you know, no matter what's happening, there is always this laughter, whether it's coming out or it's inside. It's just like the seeing of the joke constantly and how life plays. You know, what would have been before, like a disappointment when things apparently go wrong. It's just a constant amusement at the seeing of life's play, you know. It's a joke. Even in the most difficult moments, there's this silent ha, ha, ha. Do you get the joke? It's such a freedom.
But there are not so many people who would share this statement.
That's not my business.
So what is your business?
Very good. And not knowing anything. Being in total amusement and awe at what life is.
So there are these spiritual, I don't know what that means actually, people who do self-inquiry. So, for example.
Oh yeah, I'm one of those also. I'm also one of those. Apparently.
So
that's my job. Actually, that's my job.
So your job is to do self-inquiry.
No, my job is to hold the space which you told me not to have above my head, but my job is to hold the space, you know. That's the only thing I ever do which is not a doing. But what I see in all the sharings, and that's the only key that's ever needed, is that I'm just holding the space, not knowing anything, and it all just happens. So it's really, really easy. I just only need to get out of the way, ever. And be the space which holds it all, and guiding happens.
So let's do a self-inquiry.
Okay.
How does it work?
You mean, do I have a method or something like that?
No. Now let's assume I come to you in a meeting and I somehow we came to a point self-inquiry now.
Okay, so what do you want to know?
Now let me be the client or whatever, and let's play it. How does it work?
Okay. The way that I apparently work is by asking the right questions. You thought that you were going to ask the questions and I was going to give the answers, right? But it's more that I will look into the person that's sitting in front of me. Every being is so unique, so it's always a new meeting, it's always fresh, it's always alive. So I will just look at what question brings this being to see in this moment. Because every single one of us at the core has that clear seeing. Right, every single one at the core is the seer. But all this stuff that's apparently in the way is what blocks the seeing. So I will just look and go and ask the question that will bring them to a point of seeing.
So which question comes up for me now?
Say again.
When when we do this exercise, I don't know if this is possible in the via Skype or in the frame of this conversation. Which question would you start with for me?
But you have to ask me, really.
I have to ask you.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Oh, that's difficult.
Just as difficult for me to start with something imaginary, you know? Because I would have to go to memory and mind and imagine if, what if, la la la, and then it's not alive, right? So if you're really asking me, then it really comes.
Okay. Yeah. So,
okay, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Do you have any, so that we can play, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, like, question that is still lingering or left over, or, and it's not that I have the answer, you have the answer, but I can facilitate your own seeing. That's apparently what I do.
Okay. Hmm. I don't know what to ask. Huh?
Then I don't know what to answer. You know?
Yes.
And here we are, and look what is here.
And here is a continuous stream of experiences and perceptions, and this includes thoughts.
A wide openness.
Yeah.
A wide openness where anything can happen.
Yeah.
And nothing is needed to happen. Nothing is tried to make happen. It's just this wide open space of not knowing where anything can happen. And here we meet, yeah?
Do you hear the sound that I hear? There is some noise. Can you hear that? It sounds like if something on your computer would, or the microphone, or maybe the hard disk is moving. Not now, but now again. You can probably not hear this.
No. I can hear like a very faint.
It's not like.
No, I don't have any of that.
Okay, now it's better. Occasionally it comes.
Should I try to clean my
At the moment I cannot hear it. Yeah, seems to be clean, yeah? Whatever happened.
That's what I mean.
Now we have much better sound quality.
Right.
So it is about holding space.
Yeah, in not knowing anything.
In not knowing anything.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this thing. I just put it out and cleaned it. In the space of not knowing, right? It seems to work.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're asking me what happens when I'm working with somebody or facilitating a meeting, the only thing that I stay committed to is that I don't move away from holding the space. So if anybody within that space moves away, I find a way to call them back into the meeting, the direct meeting of oneself. So whatever question will arise is always like the invitation of the mind to move out of the meeting, and then I will guide it back to the meeting. So again and again, the mind is stopped.
Okay.
And in this stop, recognition happens. You know, the beautiful thing about this sharing is that I don't have any teaching and I don't have the answers. And every being I talk to is absolutely unique. And I see that there's no way to talk to three people in the same way. So they actually show me how to guide them to the true meeting. And the true meeting itself is where the answer is. It is not in something that I could say that their mind then collects the answer and it becomes part of a knowledge that they will carry away. It is a meeting, a stopping and a meeting and a tasting and a direct experience of what is alive and speaks louder than anything, the direct experience of it. Of course, this is just the beginning, you know, the recognition of oneself as the awareness of every thought, feeling, sensation, recognizing that I am that and not the thoughts and what's passing by, recognizing that I am this intelligence is the beginning, the first step.
I would even go one step further and say even the idea of I am or being or trying to do self-inquiry, it's already too late. So prior to that,
already the movement away, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes, but when somebody doesn't know that,
okay,
you know.
Yeah,
you know, because this is absolutely true, but if somebody comes, like recently I had a meeting here in Copenhagen, and a lot of the room was full of people who had no idea what
okay.
this is. Yeah. So where do you start? You need to start where they are. Yeah? A, B, C, D.
I can understand.
So, you know, for a few moments, yeah, for a few moments, it really left me in a like, okay, like I really had to like stretch myself to a place where they are, that I can start speaking from there, because otherwise no way. If I start saying it is already this, they became aggressive, you know? What is this? You know? So, and yeah, people, even if everybody's true nature is already that which we look for, that's not what you can...
Yeah, you cannot transmit it in words.
No, that's not.
It has to be... It has to be experienced. And I understand that's what you do. You just bring
absolutely.
The people...
Absolutely. And if somebody... into the direct experience. If somebody already comes to me for, say, an individual session, I do have a little way that developed itself through my system to bring about a complete stopping of the mind for about an hour or so. And during that time, I will, you know, it's like I use certain questions for them to look, and we come to a place of there is only that left. And so in that recognition, then I start to speak for the mind. And this works like 9 times out of 10 for somebody to really have that recognition that they've been trying to imagine or reading about or the search for, you know. That works 9 times out of 10. But then, of course, I always say, okay, this is still an experience, a spiritual experience, right? And when you walk out of fear, mind is going to come back and tell stories about this. You know, this thinking process is not going to just stop just because you have seen. Yeah, so then it's really the beginning of meeting life with a new vision. And that's really where the, you know, the undoing of everything, of the identity that wound itself up to think itself as me, that unwinding happens for the rest of the life, as far as I see. Because it's not only unwinding the story in this system, but it's also unwinding the whole story of humanity. Generations and generations of belief systems and conditionings that are somehow in the DNA are all now being seen from a new vision. So they are as they're being seen, they're falling away and losing the grip. But still, you know, I often find myself saying that it's as if we've got one foot chained by all the conditions of all the past generations and belief systems that's wired into us, and the other foot has stepped out. And there's this, like, you know, it can feel a bit like that. And the way I see it is that we are the transition. We are the ones who are learning to walk with this awakened, whatever you want to call it, but a new vision. Yeah. So in our meeting of all those, that stuckness and that limited belief system, in our meeting of that and then making a new move, slowly, slowly humanity is moving into a new paradigm. But we have to live it, right? It's not just like just because you see that you are the awareness of thoughts.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. That can be a theoretical construct, and even when it is a glimpse of an experience, maybe one can phrase it that or call it that.
Yes.
A lot of stuff is somehow stuck in the unconscious, and
And that all starts to come. That's often what I hear myself saying, is that, okay, now this recognition is the very invitation of all that is unconscious to start rising and come to be seen in truth, because it's never been seen really in freedom. You know, so it's coming back for the truth. It's arising again to be met in this freedom. And that's basically what I do in like workshops, intensives, is the first day I will go around and get that recognition as a direct experience with everybody. But then from there I give an invitation for whatever is coming up, really coming up, not just as an idea of let me find a question, no. But what is triggering you that is being touched by what's happening in that person? And what, you know, how is this met? So it's like a group of beings that are joined as one energy field, and whatever's in the unconscious is bubbling up in one and triggering the others, and then that leads to meeting it all in life, you know, within the
group.
Yeah, so it's very much about inviting the everyday life business up, and what's been rejected to come, you know, and to investigate that in the direct experience of it, to meet it fully. Yeah.
What I found out for myself is when tense feelings come up, that's typically, then I just try to fully sense it, without any attempts to explain intellectually, without any naming it, even no words.
Yes.
Just fully feeling into it.
Yes. Well, that is what I will guide people into, because the old habit of mind will start to go in the story, and that's what the child has learned to not feel it, right? That's what takes you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will just hold the space to let them directly stop that story and come back and just meet what's really here in this body, without any judgment, without any wanting to get rid of it, without anything. Just let's meet these sensations as they are, like it comes home.
Just feeling it, and what I experienced then, as an example, when I, at one stage I went into a certain angst, fear.
Yes.
I had the suspicion, there is fear. It was an uncomfortable feeling, and I sat with this for 45 minutes. Not a single word, just trying to sense it. And then suddenly, one aspect of this angst exposed itself, and the angst never came back.
Wow.
Which is surprising.
It's been clearly seen and clearly met, right? Without a story.
Yeah.
And that's what I often hear myself saying, is that, you know, the child which has not been able to meet it all in that way has collected it as in like energy which has become dense in the system, and is therefore, when that trigger, that button gets pushed, immediately a pattern plays out to avoid this, because it's believed into. So when it's coming for the true meeting, what is it that can allow to just sit in that and meet that without, like you said, there's only one part of you that can actually say yes to that, even without saying yes, you know?
Yes.
One part of you that is just willing to sit there right in it. And that is free. So in this freedom is, it's coming home in freedom.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say it's like lost children coming home, you know, the homecoming. Consciousness,
It's like, I say sometimes it's like an inner field of minds, which do not want to be touched.
And it's not even yours.
Yeah, it's just mine.
It's not even yours. Yeah. And this is the beautiful thing you see when you sit within a group, because, you know, quite often I see people when they come and it's very serious and they share it and they feel like it's being exposed. And then I'll ask the rest of the room, who else knows this? And everybody puts their hand up. And then they are like shocked to see that this is the human experience.
Yeah.
And it's not your personal thing, you know? It's this is
all
humanity. This is the whole of humanity. Yeah.
Even when we take it from a biological point of view, I mean, each cell of us has 3.8 billion of years of evolution in itself.
Exactly. How can that finish in a moment? It's, one vision I really like is, how can it ever be finished here? If still there are so many caught up in the trance, because this process is whatever is in humanity. So it still processes.
There's interaction all the time.
All the time. You're always being conditioned by the conditioning field. So it's only this, like you said, it's only this being able to meet it and the willingness to sit in it, and that's what changes. And slowly, slowly, I see like many of us are waking up in this enough to be able to see this much, and this is like a collective change and makes it easier for the others, right?
Mm-hmm. So you say this is also related to, so to say, responsibility, yeah? To develop it, to cultivate it.
Well, my feeling is that once you are aware, you have a choice. You know, once you are aware and a trigger goes off in your system and you are aware enough to know that there is a way to meet this and not running the story, then that's up to you, isn't it?
Yeah, but I have the impression that there is no choice. Yeah? Whatever you see...
This is true at the same time. You know, this question is so beautiful because it can never be, for me it includes both. It's like, at the highest, highest, highest level, there is nobody even to have a choice, right? Yet, where we are experiencing, sitting here on a computer, talking to each other, we are including duality. Right?
But if you ask me, do I have a choice to disconnect this Skype conversation now? I would say no, because...
I would also say no.
Either it happens or it doesn't happen. Huh?
Absolutely. I would also say that. I would also say that.
Just as an example. Or
yes.
If I feel tense, as I explained before, do I have a choice to do the process or not? I doubt it. If the circumstances allow to do it, then it might happen. And yet,
this is true at the very same time that I have a choice to take tea or coffee right now with the enough consciousness to know that if I drink coffee, I'll be up all night. You know? And that's so, really basic. That's really on the ground floor.
Yeah, but again, no choice. Because
no choice. Conscious.
Yes.
Yeah? But for as long as we experience a choice, why not make one? Yeah?
Yeah.
So you know, when I'm working with somebody, for example, and it comes on the table that they are right here, they can keep holding on to the story and experience suffering, or they can step out. Ultimately, that's already as it is, right? Yet,
sure.
I find myself saying, it's up to you. What will you do right now?
Yeah, that makes sense. Then the belief in choice is still. Now I'm back on track again. Now I'm back on track. Now my world, my universe is fine. Microsoft, you know.
And all of that, about all that, we have no choice, right?
Yeah.
This is, you know, when we really get it, that it's all out of our hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then still we're faced constantly with choices, apparent choices, right?
Yeah, but then there is a feeling, who cares? And
yes, I agree. Totally. And that the willingness to lose everything constantly in a moment is so delicious.
Yeah, when the experience is made that this is the direct experience of freedom, then it starts being delicious.
Yes. Yeah, this is beautiful. I notice, you know, over and over when planning something like a retreat or flying somewhere or whatever, and it all comes to a point where it's like, okay, the whole thing might not happen.
Yeah.
And it's just like, nothing. It's just everything can be lost in a moment and nothing's lost. Yeah? Nothing is ever lost.
clear.
The willingness to lose everything means nothing is ever lost.
Yeah. Paradox. Paradoxical.
Yeah.
But
this is it. It's paradoxical. Yeah.
There are two ways of the mind. There seem to be two ways of minds to operate: in the normal mode, which means separation and suffering, or in the paradoxical mode, which means no meaning, no importance, just this
and
relaxation.
The difference is felt huge. You know, like when I'm trying to plan something with somebody, and if they are holding on to all that belief that they are really in control and all of that, it's just like the difference is huge. To work with somebody who really is in a let go of life happening, it's absolutely huge. It's very simple, little, subtle. Yeah? And that's the thing, is that when it's believed in, it becomes a reality.
Yeah.
And it's solid, and it becomes an energy that lives in our existence, right? I had quite a shock, because I came from Thailand. I live in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Thailand. And I come quickly through Europe, and I went to England, and when I landed there, I was almost shocked with the...
Wait.
I was shocked. Yeah, it was like, wow, people are really believing in this, you know? I was shocked, honestly. So it's good for me to step out of my free jungle island life, to actually see that it, you know, I was imagining that the whole planet has had an awakening, right?
No.
Not quite mainstream, but
no.
I had lost touch with the mainstream, and it was really quite shocking to my system that I had to kind of like find a new way to fit into all of this, you know.
Yeah, that is the danger, yeah, when we are in such worlds, we might have a shifted perception. Yeah, so
it's good for me to come out and learn how to walk in this reality and actually talk to people in shops like normal and act as if everything matters, you know. I mean, why do we do this talk, actually?
I don't know. I received an email from Devasetu a week ago, and I did not understand what he wants, so I did not properly read it. Yeah? So the
people
looked.
I know, these are the facts, but life is somehow bringing this, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I have asked these questions already during past interviews. I'm wondering why I am doing these interviews. Muji said, "This is a great question." No idea. I mean, I could tell a story. Yeah,
But somehow it shows, you know, I'm going to tell a story if you don't. Somehow it shows that it has a place for people who are like wanting to step out of the trance and wanting some verification that they are not alone in this, what they are sensing, tasting, you know, like some confirmation.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There is also an energy here, just to share and somehow point to this opportunity. Yeah.
And give the value to it.
Yeah. I mean, when you see this, this is a big shift. I mean, looking back at the old life, I've heard your story in another interview. I believe it was with Ian McNay. And considering all these movements of the past that you communicate there, I had similar ones which were by far not that dramatic. But even then, stepping out of this suddenly, or slowly seeing, there are other options.
Yes. But didn't you always know that from the beginning? I know that here I could not accept that life was not supposed to be lived in total freedom. I just couldn't accept that from the beginning, you know.
For me, it was more like, responsibility has to be taken. I grew up in a family. There was a lot of work. There was a physically handicapped sister. So there was a lot of workload, and there was a feeling, certain responsibility has to be taken.
Right.
And this does not feel very free.
Right. Yes. My meaning was that in the middle of all the contraction that I grew up in, because it was quite intense, in the middle of that, there was a knowing, like, that was not of the mind, but a knowing that was like, why aren't we living in freedom, you know? Like, we're supposed to be free. We're not supposed to be doing this this thing, you know? Why is everybody shouting, screaming at each other? Why is everybody in pain? Why is it all so difficult? Like, life is free. You know, there was a kind of a knowing from early on that the truth was free. The truth was to live free.
I did not... maybe I'm coming just out of a different environment, because I grew I grew up with just my family, so there was no village around, a lot in nature.
Lucky you.
I did not even ask that question. There was life, there was responsibilities, there were, physically I was quite strong and healthy, and what I asked for was the question, what is truth? So, coming
you
from the mind, coming from the mind,
As a child?
As a child and later. All the time. So religion was interesting. So what is the absolute truth? So Catholic education. And then came a lot of confusion. Well, something must be wrong here. So if God is loving, how can this suffering happen all the time? So contradictions. And then I surrendered. I said, okay, hopeless. I will not get that. And I studied physics to take it from there. Understand how does nature work. And then another confusion came, because the modern physics finds out that time, space, matter and energy are not separate. And so this is paradoxical for the mind. Okay, so it seems it's good to be prepared for paradoxical things. And then meditation came.
Meditation.
About 10 years ago, meditation came into my life, and I don't know what actually happened there. But bottom line, I believe it is just something was touched. Something of this truth was touched on an ex- experiencing level, because meditation was taught by a Jesuit about to be about accepting what comes and perceiving and not thinking, just perceiving. And then some energetic sensations came. And
right. At the one of the things that I often find myself saying when I guide somebody into a direct experience is that you've been told in meditation to become the witness.
No.
Right? You were not told that?
No.
You were told to watch the thoughts?
No. I read a book, and the recommendation was to do a body scan, then to sense a part of the body. The recommendation is just to sense the contact between the two hands, sit comfortably, have the hands together, and try to sense the contact.
Okay, so this was where you started. Are you still doing that?
No. In the meantime, this is over.
Right. Okay, and why is it over?
I have no idea. It is just... I have no idea.
If you would start to do that now,
would be boring.
Right.
Probably. Yeah.
Right, because you already can see, right? So those things, those techniques, those teachings.
It's done.
So actually, I uploaded a video on exactly this yesterday. Exactly that, you know, is that all that kind of body scanning and all that stuff is really, really, really to try to do that now would just make you busy, which is the last thing you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's there for somebody who's just starting to creating the seeker.
Mm-hmm.
It creates the seeker, right?
I would not say that. Now, when I started meditating, it was just about learning to perceive the present moment. Yeah, there was no objective whatsoever.
No goal.
No goal whatsoever. Yeah.
Right. Then this is different. Yeah.
Yeah. And 4 or 5 years after I started meditation, suddenly there was the energy to go to a retreat, and it was a silent retreat of 10 days. And beautiful. On the second day, something was said which brought mind or Reinhold to surrender, total surrender.
Right.
And this started shifting a couple of things. Yeah, so. Suddenly a few things were seen very, very clearly, experiences. And then maybe after that, the seeking process started because I was left alone. Yeah?
You were left alone.
Yes.
You were left alone with the experience.
Yes.
But that's probably people who come to listen to this conversation. Many of these people, because I receive a lot of emails constantly where people are, like what you just described, having a taste and experience, and then they start looking for clarification.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes. And at that time, I had never asked the question, who am I, for example? Yeah? I never thought that this could be a nice door to go through. Yeah. This came all later when I saw this stuff on the internet, these videos by other teachers who recommend to do the self-inquiry. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when you describe what you just described of this surrender, was there also recognition of when the surrender of Reinhold, what is left when Reinhold has surrendered, what is left here, that you are that?
Was there recognition? No. Right. There was never a question for the identity. Yeah.
Right.
I fundamentally surrendered to was an abstract God, yeah, whatever that was. And just now you take over control fundamentally. That was the movement.
Right.
And then the experience came, this divine or God is in everything. And this resulted then in stopping being judgmental. And that was a big change, yeah. So
because you could see that
doesn't make sense. Yeah?
Everybody is the same, right?
Yeah, it is divine. The divine is in everybody. So being judgmental doesn't make sense. Yeah? And that simplified things.
Yeah? Right. And the tendency of the mind didn't still automatically go on making its
of course it did.
Like it does, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you just didn't believe in it anymore. That's the difference, is that because, you know, what I can say is that this mind judges all the time, you know? I started speaking to you and the mind is saying, he's nice, da-da, right? The mind is judging all the time. That's what the mind does. But it's like that doesn't, you know what I mean? It's like that doesn't, and in all kind of play of life and stories, the mind continues making judgments, and I wouldn't even bother to even tell it not to, you know, because it's just free.
Yeah, there was just the seeing the divine is in everything, and so it's over.
Right.
Yeah, so that means, what should I complain? What should anybody complain? I can see this. Thank you, whoever I am. I did not even ask this question.
Yes.
judgments come. This is beautiful. This is not so beautiful. But who cares? Because it's all divine. So.
Right. But the mind is still continuing that thing. Because what I see a lot in people who are searching is that they try not to. They try the mind not to make a judgment. You know,
yeah, it's not possible.
Which is it's like judging the mind for judging.
Yeah, it's hopeless. You know? Yeah. No. Let it just do whatever it wants.
Let it free. Your mind is free. It judges everything all the time, but just don't take it as reality. Yeah. So I mean, that is in itself like a huge, isn't it? The mind is free to judge. Finally, mind is free to judge all day long.
Yeah,
and it's none of my business.
Just mind.
Yeah, it's not reality. It's not the true seer. It's not so. I mean, when I see people trying to do that with the mind, make sure it doesn't judge and make sure it accepts everything and all this thing. It's like it keeps that identification with mind in place or gives it the power to really mean something by trying to.
Yeah. Just mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a, you know, very simple. The things that you are describing, so simple, but such a big, huge difference. Yeah. And this is where so many who are now in this shift, you know, of awakening, get kind of stuck in holding on to the words of the teachings.
Yes.
Of, you know, the words of the teachings.
Yes.
That then they think that it's about what has been said in the words. And then they try to live what's been said in the words, and it's never ever these words.
That's the best I could say is it is maybe about the confusion created by some words. Yeah?
Yes, and then the interpretation of those words.
Yeah. And even, I mean, I had a phase when I listened to many tapes with Jiddu Krishnamurti in the early stages. And he said things like, time is thought.
Right.
So as an ordinary person, what do you do with such a statement?
My feeling is that until you're really awake, you don't understand Krishnamurti. And then when you are awake and you understand him, wow, you know his depth. Yeah?
Yes.
Such a depth. I mean, he covers from the highest to the ground truth all the way, and he covered like a scientist every single layer of everything. He didn't remove himself from this human business, and I mean such a depth that if I happen to come across one of these things and listen, it blows my heart at, you know, such a being who never went to the teacher, never read a book, never followed anything. He went by himself.
But this language for a ordinary person, it just helps create. It confuses mind, and then, this guy seems to have a point. Yeah, I don't get the point yet, but at least I'm confused.
Yes.
Yeah, which is already a good starting point. Yeah.
Yes. And so, but that's happening. That's why, and it's not why. It's just a word I'm using. That's why there are so many different flavors of people expressing this now. You know, the message is coming in so many shapes and expressions, so many unique flavors, that to hear the message that's being pointed at and not the expression itself, now there's much more possibility to say, oh, he says it that way, but it doesn't need to be like that. It can also be like that, and it can also be like that, and none of it, and all of it, all of it, because all of them is always being pointed to the same by the same, and yet it's none of the expression, and it is, and it's beautiful. My part of my passion in the sharing of this is really recognizing the uniqueness of each being and working with that. They show me how to work with them out of their uniqueness. So it's not that I come with my only agenda is to bring the direct experience. But they show me how that happens for them, how that can happen for them.
That means basically what many call something like mirroring. So you are a reflection of them in order that they can recognize for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it, the feeling I have when I sit with somebody is that I receive their information, and that becomes a guiding. And the only thing I need to be is open and out of the way. Because more and more, it's like I don't know anything. Only this. This is knowing itself, whatever this is. And it's so intelligent, and it so knows where to go by itself. It's a love affair. It's the ultimate love affair. It's the one that never lets you down.
It is love. It is.
Yes.
Not even a love affair.
A love affair with itself, constant. Yeah.
Yeah. Fully unconditional with this, so to say. This with this.
Yes, absolutely.
No all subject, no subject, no object, no time, no space, not even that.
And yet, within that,
in the midst of it,
the full limitation of all the, I'm late for a flight I need to make in 2 days, and I'm stressed. I'm stressed because I'm packing my bags, and I need to there, and I need more time to, you know, all of that is included in this wide open freedom of no time, no space.
Mm.
I'm stressed running to the airport, you know. And that can only be heard in a paradox, paradoxical way, because you know when we point to this expanded vision, many can get the idea that that means you will never be stressed. It's absolutely, it's like even more everything, it's just everything is more every moment is so intense and so full, no matter what it appears to be, it's all free to be here
and let all in,
all of it. All of it. Nothing is excluded. There's a byproduct that I'm very I feel is such a grace, is that a cleaning up happening by itself, that there is just no question of like the old tendency of personality to sneak and tell lies and to move in this kind of way. It's just like, can it be? There's just no question of... It's just, it's such a radical honesty in every corner, you know? And this is really such a fresh cleaning, I feel, because I had a dodgy character, you know. I grew up learning how to survive on the streets.
Yeah.
So I was always making sure that I don't have something wrong in my bag when I walk through a customs, or you know, all these kind of things. But now it's just like, there's no question, it's all just so free.
Mm.
Because there's no question of ever doing anything crooked.
Yeah, no need to be an actor.
And no need to, like, it's just an honesty constantly here with everybody all the time. An honesty, a love, this is the love affair. It's just like, each being is my own self, and so this love affair of self with itself, the honoring of...
It's beautiful, no?
And this brings, has a side effect. It brings this fullness. Do you have a family now?
Yes.
Yeah?
Nothing changed. No? So...
I mean, you have, like, children? And
we have 2 children. They are already adults, so... students, and I have ordinary work and very ordinary life. There was, looking back, there was a period of, how can we say this, restlessness when these experiences happened. And there were questions, maybe something has to change radically, but luckily that didn't happen.
Right. And does your wife share the same clarity?
The same what?
I chose the word, okay.
What is that, Carrick?
Clarity. Vision?
Most of it, yes, I would say.
Yeah.
We started, when I started meditating, she went a Buddhist route. So we developed in parallel.
Right.
And I was challenging her, or maybe a little bit sometimes. But she also challenged me, which in the end of the day helped both of us.
Right.
And
then you come like this.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
See that it's the same, yeah.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. This is a very beautiful point, that to be able to give every being the freedom of being to walk their own way. This is really huge.
And then even encouraging people, particularly in the case of my wife, that was one. She had a tendency to take responsibility for others' problems, for example. And slowly she learned, first take care of myself, and when I am well, when I'm fine, I can be fine for others.
When my cup is full, I overflow.
That's a big step.
Yes, it's huge.
Sounds selfish, but it's not.
No, it's true selfish. It's true selfish, because then you can give from an overflow, a cup that is full and overflows. And somehow when it's like from a half full cup and there's some depletion, there is some kind of like business going on in it, a need of something in there.
Yes. Exactly.
A resentment comes out of that. I help because I should, or like.
Exactly. Exactly.
It breeds resentment, and I'm very honoring of filling up my own cup.
And there is little needed to have it filled.
For me, it's really about giving myself enough space to be, not running constantly for the next, but the space just to let the being be. And in that, the cup is filled.
Yes, automatically.
No space to be. Then how seeing can see.
It's caught. Like the wire of your headset is.
Exactly. So when there's space for being, seeing naturally happens. Out of space. Create space. That was a nice one that was coming for me over the last year, was really like this simplicity of the answer to everything is create space.
What I did over the last years is I got up early automatically, and sat for 2 hours maybe in this space without any plan, not even with a plan to meditate. Just see what comes.
Just sitting here.
Yeah, and no matter, no intention. No. And what can I say?
Delicious. That's how I like to wake up. Yeah.
And
such a value in that.
Yeah. And and then one day was this, another day was something else, and sometimes meditation happened, sometimes dynamic things happened.
Like what?
Doing some stimulated meditations, for example.
But always the focus, for example.
Focus, there is one meditation available, is a no-yes meditation, for example, expressing no's which were not allowed to be expressed in the past, and with support from music.
Oh, nice.
Nice experience can be made then.
So you mean that there would be like a couple of hours for you just being, but with an inner focus.
Being with an inner focus, so to say, but maybe
nothing
sometimes
particular.
Nothing in particular, no plans, just
space.
Time, space. Yeah, exactly. You describe it beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah. And. But even this now is coming to an end. So I sleep longer in the mornings, and I just don't care. Yeah? And but I know I can go back to this if needed, and this it will happen when required. It will happen. The place is known.
Yes, absolutely. It reminds me of one. It's one video of Osho I saw on Facebook, and it's called "The Day I Became Enlightened." And it's so funny, it's hilarious. And he was telling that before he had realization, he was up at 3 o'clock every morning and doing all these mantras and this and that and going to the river and whatever. And the day that he recognized, he said, "It is completely absurd. To search for oneself is completely absurd." He laid in bed all until 9 o'clock. That day he started drinking beer. He never drank beer before. And he was describing like he just... What is all this nonsense, you know? But it was hilarious, really hilarious. And I can remember him saying those things many, many years ago when I was in Pune, but there was no way to
get it,
understand the simplicity. You know? It was just this.
I was also in Pune.
Were you?
2 years ago.
Oh.
I
wouldn't want to be there 2 years ago.
I was not in Pune for the resort. I was in Pune for Dolano.
You went to Dolano.
Yeah, we made. I did not go to her last satsang, but I made interviews like I do with you now.
Wonderful.
So I met her a couple of times, and while doing this, I heard one of her audios. And she described when she had her awakening, as she calls it. She said, that's the day when I believed I will never leave my bamboo hut anymore. I will lie in bed for the rest of my life.
I'm saying that. Eternal holiday. I mean, she used to say you will never get up. You will stay in bed the rest of your life.
I like that very much. She's a character anyhow. You were with her, I think,
Yes, in 2000, year 2000.
Okay. Oh, that was just after she had started her work, then?
Her second workshop, I was in that one.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah. And I, you know, you know my story. I was out of Japan, out of jail already 3 years, and I had this shift, but I didn't have the clarification. And with her, in the first meeting, came the clarification. So that was really the end. Good. And the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of starting to walk this in a whole new way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that moment, I was very in a confused, like the scrambling of... I was confused because I had this great opening in jail, and then coming back into the world, so-called, all this personality started to arise, and I just couldn't see. I could see that none of that was real, but I didn't know what to do with it.
Mm.
You know, and then there was a lot of confusion in that.
Mm.
So after the clarification with her, then the willingness to meet all this confusion in a very clear, new way started then.
And how long did this process take you?
Which one? Which process?
This meeting.
It's right now.
Okay. Okay.
You know, after the Delano intensive, after that, because I had a lot of trigger for all the drama of personality coming up in the same moment of absolutely clear recognition. So mm-hmm. It was all there at the same time, and the question arose in me, okay, I can't just deny all of this by saying I know who am I.
Yes.
And I'm not that, and push that away in a corner like I saw many, many, many
that
doing
doesn't work.
They came out her satsangs. They were all walking around saying, that's not who I am, and kind of like, but the drama was still very much cooking, and so it was really my inquiry of how does this all come together.
Mm-hmm.
There's the recognition of myself as pure, aware, free, what she calls source. And now there's all this drama of personality that's how does this come together? And that became my own inquiry, because I had one question that I asked her, but it was not her department. And this question was, how does this work in relationship? What about all that stuff that gets triggered in the sexual meeting? As soon as there's a sexual exchange, all the drama is coming. And how does that work at the same time as this recognition? You know, I know who I am, and yet all of this is very much being experienced as who I am. So what about, and it doesn't work to just deny it with...
No, the answer is just go into it, be with it fully.
That's right, but I had to start walking that in every moment.
Yes.
To get
yes.
that, in embody that recognition.
Yes, yes,
you know,
that's the work, so to say. Yeah.
Yes, and that is not like, that's a continuous, ongoing living.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like a couple of years where I started to get the point, and the walking, the integration of personality evolving started to happen. And there I could see many people I could see getting the recognition but being stuck in not knowing how to. Yeah. And that is what inspired me to start speaking, because I was seeing so much confusion and denial.
Yeah.
And that evoked the speaking to start, and it came clear that this was where my passion is.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, I feel so blessed, so grateful that I have been given a role to play that is really where I'm totally in love and 100% living what I feel I'm really here for, you know? Like, it's not a work, it's really a love affair.
Mm.
Whenever I see myself getting free anywhere, it's the freedom here.
Mm.
And what a grace.
Mm.
And it's always the beginning. This is one thing that I hear myself say a lot, is that it's always the beginning, you know? It's like 17 years now since that the opening that shifted the identification, but it's still the beginning. Because it's such a mystery. There's an endless revelation.
That is what I also experience. My shift is about 5 years ago, but in that space of being, there are always new things come up.
Yes. just when you think you know, and what's happening in our consciousness now, it's moving so fast. There's really like nothing to land. There's no place to land ever, and this like continuous letting go into like this wide openness of being shown all the time, being shown. You really feel. I really feel like I'm fully living all of life right now, and it can never be more than this. This is like. What more can I ask, except for a nice to live and, you know. You know what I mean? It's like
yes, I know. Yeah.
When you live truly, there's nothing more you can ask.
There's nothing missing, nothing
missing. Even though, still, I like to include, in case people listening get the wrong idea, I like to include that, yes, my mind still would like a permanent place to live and blah, blah, blah. My mind tells that all the time, not all day long, but it has always that story that I like somewhere. And in the very same, there cannot be more than this. It's so full, so rich.
Mm.
Just being true to oneself is where it's all at.
Yeah. Mm.
Not compromising. Being true to oneself is the richness. You can't be richer than that, yeah?
Mm.
Not playing the game of pretending in the conditioning field of playing a certain way that is just not true for you in any way at all. That compromise is where poverty lives.
Yes. Yeah.
And like the richness is in just like the free being just really living true to itself, no matter what can be said or projected or judged or thought or
yeah. So what others think or say about me just doesn't matter.
How could it if what I think doesn't matter?
Exactly.
If what I think doesn't matter, then I'm sure not going to worry.
I have seen so many people trapped in attempts to control other people's opinion about them. I mean, this is terrible.
This is something we grow up with, you know.
Yeah.
I always remember my saying, "What will the neighbors think?"
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What would you think?
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful now that you see so many are realizing this, that they're just like free to really be their own authority and yeah. come into themselves, you know.
Yeah.
I love it. I just love this
beauty,
unique yeah. individual yeah. authority that people are taking their place, because we have been controlled for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just beautiful to hang out here and feel the expansion and the connection.
It's amazing that you are supposed to be on a video screen, because I feel you just here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The meeting.
Yes.
Wow. Which part of Germany?
I live close to Nuremberg, which is between Berlin and Munich.
Oh.
So maybe of 180 kilometers north of Munich and probably 400 kilometers south of Berlin.
In Berlin. I fly to Berlin on 25.
Okay.
First time I will go to Germany since I was 18.
Okay. A lot has changed since then. That coming down, or the coming down of Berlin Wall, that was a big event in Germany.
At that time, when I was 18, I didn't even know about the Berlin Wall.
Mm-hmm.
I was just hitchhiking.
Mm-hmm.
All around Europe.
Great. Yeah, I saw Berlin Wall at the age of 18.
Oh.
And that was one of the most frustrating experiences in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it separates?
Yes. You stand in front of a wall. Human beings are separated. Yeah? Birds fly over it and shit on each side at any time they want, but human beings do not have this. They have the freedom to move.
Wow.
Terrible.
And you couldn't pass, if you lived on one side, you couldn't go to the other side?
From East Berlin to West Berlin,
not
difficult. From West Berlin to East Berlin, I could go. Yeah? So, it was total craziness.
Wow. See, I don't really know the story, you know. I never went to school, hardly.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know all the story.
Yeah. But you know freedom, yeah? And you know what that means for freedom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And when did the war come down?
It started in 1989. End of 1989.
Wow.
Very emotional moment. Yeah.
Wow. Such a pain. In Wow. Do you still feel it? I don't mean you personally. I mean, like, is it still in the field?
It is in the field as a memory. It is in the field as a... is something which should not be, yeah, in the future, so to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But above all, there is the joy and satisfaction that it finally came down.
Yeah.
Cost West Germans a lot of money in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really the money, it's the energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Human beings, the most crazy. It's that craziness of the human condition that we are unwinding.
Yeah.
And that's why. You know, we are talking like this because it's part of the unwinding, you know, stepping out of all that and giving some others the right to step out. Yeah, but we're still processing.
Yeah,
all
sure.
All this crazy nonsense. I feel it's a really important message for the seeker to know that it's not supposed to be that you get some experience and then all that stuff is not moving through your system anymore, you know, because it's the human.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
It's our nature.
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah. We are living an incredible moment in evolution. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like in my story, but it's we are seeing it. It's incredible.
It's the human condition.
I mean, this shift, this consciousness shift is really never happened before.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I hear these stories of the old sages of Buddha. Yeah, they all say the same. Yeah, so Osho, Buddha, Ramana Maharshi. It's all about the same.
The same as what?
Like the shift that we are talking about. Yeah, so
we've always been in the shift.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously the human condition is that the vast majority has another kind of vision, yeah? Normally, statistically, so to say. It's also a human condition. Yeah? And the message would be make peace with this, yeah. But this
there has never been so many ready to shift in a moment like it is now. You know, even from when I started sharing 10 years ago, it was like a big thing for somebody to have a recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's just like it's
okay.
Yeah. It's the willingness to meet life where the work is, where the courage, where the recognition is easy. How amazing is it that we can just
Yeah, it happened. It happens.
Yeah. I never heard of you, and probably you never heard of me, and here we are. Meeting more intimately than
maybe, yeah. It's so amazing about it, yeah, about this technology. So let's finish this one.
Okay.
Maybe there will be other opportunities, I hope.
Okay. Can I say something about the weekend I have in Berlin?
Sure.
An open meeting on the 29th in Berlin, where anybody can come. And following that, there is a weekend intensive from the city. September.
Can you repeat the last sentence? There was an interruption.
I have an intensive weekend from the 6th to the 8th of September.
In Berlin?
Yes.
Okay.
And for that, people can contact anantaberlin@gmail.com or join.
Okay. We have now an interruption in our connection. I hope you can hear me. What will happen is, hopefully, Deva Setu will publish this within a short time. Yeah.